But we begin this hour with the Supreme Court, where today the nine justices will hear the case of Holt versus Hobbs. It involves religion, prisoners' rights, and a beard. Gregory Holt is serving a life sentence for domestic battery and burglary in the Arkansas State Prison. Holt, also known as Abdul Malik Muhammad, converted to Islam. He filed a handwritten petition to the Supreme Court challenging an Arkansas policy that denies prisoners the right to grow a beard. Holt says his religion requires him to grow a half-inch-long beard. Arkansas prison officials argue that their policy is necessary for prison safety. Joining us is Sarah Beringer Gordon, a professor of law, history, and religion at the University of Pennsylvania. Professor, welcome.
Thank you.
So I know there's a legal issue here, but there's just something that sounds trivial about this case. Assure me that that is not the case.
That really isn't the case, especially in a country with as large a prison population as the United States, and with questions of religious observance. One of the few liberties that prisoners retain when incarcerated.
And the question of Islam and a beard, is there an exclusion for religious practices that involve outward physical behaviors of one kind or another? I mean, I guess growing a beard is an outward physical attribute that might be different from reading the Bible, but I still don't see how it threatens safety in a prison.
Indeed. These are excellent questions, and similar debates have swirled around for a generation and more. Native American prisoners asking to grow braids, for example, religious prisoners asking to grow beards. What prisons argue, especially with very full beards, the beard in question here would be 1/2 inch long, so not a terribly full beard. But they argue that weapons, drugs, or so on could be concealed in the beard, and that if a prisoner escaped, all he would have to do would be to shave to look very different. On the other hand, 43 states have allowed half-inch beards. So it's not the case that prison officials all agree that this is such a dire threat. I should also mention that the prison does allow prisoners who have dermatological issues, ingrown hair and so on, where shaving would be very painful, does allow them already to grow beards.
In general terms here, and getting away from this Holt case, has the Supreme Court ever ruled that obedience in a prison setting or following rules on private property or following rules in a corporate setting is equivalent to giving up your rights as a citizen constitutionally?
Certainly they have. And the question is whether this is one of those situations. There was actually a case in the Third Circuit Court of Appeals, which covers where I live, Philadelphia, but also New Jersey, written by now Justice Alito, who then was a Third Circuit judge, involving the Newark police force. And a Muslim police officer asked to be able to grow a beard, and the police chief said no. And a very similar situation, the police allowed men with dermatological issues to grow beards, but not Muslim officers. And then judge and now Justice Alito wrote for a unanimous Third Circuit saying that violated his free exercise rights, that even the interest in uniformity among police officers shouldn't overrule the situation. And with military, police, prison, there are, of course, more interests in obedience, uniformity, and so on. But even there, courts have found that beards and modest beards in such situations generally are not a dire security threat.
Where would you say the courts are and the judiciary is in the United States regarding the question of whether the state can trump constitutional rights on the basis of security? I mean, the Patriot Act would suggest that, yes, security trumps the Constitution on some level. But this case and some of the rulings that you've cited suggest, no, that uniformity and questions of being a part of the military doesn't trump the constitutional rights that we're all given.
You're absolutely right. The law pulls in two directions. One of the interesting things about this case is that it involves a statute called the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act of 2000, which especially is targeted at those who are institutionalized, that is, incarcerated, or otherwise hospitalized and so on. In return for federal funding, states are required not to infringe, not to burden the religious freedom of those institutionalized persons without a compelling state interest and in the least restrictive means possible. So Congress has sent a message to the courts and the states that they're very interested in the religious rights of those who are confined in narrow spaces.
Well, we'll see how that tension plays out in the arguments today in the case before the Supreme Court. Holt versus Hobbs. Sarah Beringer Gordon is a professor of law, history, and religion at the University of Pennsylvania. Professor, thanks so much.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.